Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson, and I have Tiffany Lloyd, aka Tiff Bass, on the line with me. Tiffany, say hello to the people.
Hi, people. How are you?
Okay, so if you didn't get when I said Tiff Bass, I'm talking about Tiffany, the most sought after female bass player that's around. Tiffany, tell us how you got into playing the bass.
I got into playing the bass. I started hearing the bass in songs. And I almost want to say that the bass pretty much found me. I started learning how to play piano when I was a little kid, like 6 years old. Mm-hmm. And I got into formal lessons at 11. And then I started playing bass at 16. And I've been playing bass ever since. That's pretty much how I got into it. Knew it was there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What was your first performance using the bass? How did you move from the piano to the bass? What was that transition like?
The transition was interesting. Well, first I'll say I started off playing in church.
Okay.
So that was pretty much my first performance. The transition was interesting from learning piano first. My standpoint, my approach to bass was always from a keyboard, you know, keyboard player's perspective or, you know, the way that a keyboard player or pianist would approach a song is how I started and still to this day approach songs. I'm not really the typical, I don't want to say typical, but the typical bass player. You know, my style is a little bit different than, say, the most grimy, grungy, funky. I'll get funky, but my natural approach is more that of, you know, more melodic instruments like keys, lead guitar, you know, other violin, you know, other types of instruments that play a lot of notes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I get it. So lots of notes, because I was like, what is it, like classic bass? Like you play classical bass, you know, but okay.
Right.
You said you played, the first time you played bass was in church?
Yes, it was in church. Like I could always hear bass lines, but I just didn't know what instrument it was.
Okay.
I finally asked somebody, and the person I just so happened to ask was a bass player and a lead guitar player. So he was able to show me and start teaching me how to play and everything.
Look at God. Now, educate me on the difference between the guitar and the bass.
Well, they are actually two totally different instruments, although they look very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Lead guitars are made and structured to play a lot of chords. And even though they both look very similar, where they both have strings and they sometimes look like they have the same amount of strings, depending on what type of bass you have. They actually, everything on the fretboard is totally different as far as positioning.
Mm-hmm.
So bass, the role of a bass guitar is to play the foundation of songs versus a lead guitar is playing more melodies. The lead guitar usually matches up more with a piano.
Oh,
they
okay.
usually have to play the same chords or chords that match.
Do you teach bass, learning how to play the bass guitar? Is it bass guitar? Am I saying it right? Okay.
It's bass guitar. Yes.
Okay.
I do. I have students that come. I do teach lessons. Yep.
Then what do you find out about teaching students about the bass guitar? What is that dynamic like? Like, what questions do they ask? Is it an easy tool to learn?
It's not easy until you understand what you're doing. A lot of times what I find is students ask questions that nobody really talks about, and I think that's great. Like things that bass players that are already out there playing should talk about, but they don't.
Give us the juice. Give us the juice. Like, what's one
well, like
question?
One good question is finger positioning.
Mm.
Finger positioning, a lot of bass players that are new students will ask, well, where should I, you know, place my fingers, or should I play close to the fret or off the fret? Which is something that a lot of bass players don't talk about, but it makes a world of difference in your tone, which is, you know, that carries into everything, your sound, getting work or not getting work, you know, your sound and your technique and your tone is everything. So if you're not proficient with your tone and your technique, you're not going to sound as clean and sound as good. So you might not always get calls from people that you could possibly get calls from. So it makes a big difference. But that little tiny thing goes a long way. And a lot of times I find students ask that. I think also mainly because I zero in on that at the start of a new student, you know, learning how to play. So the smallest things are very important.
True. I like what you said about the sound and, you know, getting your own groove regarding playing. You're also a member of the Grammy Award Recording Academy. And how active are you, and what are the rewards you receive for being a member?
I would say relatively active. I go to the events maybe several times a year that they throw, as much as I can. Being a part of the Academy, it's not necessarily that you get a bunch of rewards, but it's a great way to just be connected, stay connected, and meet new people in your industry.
Okay.
Outside of just, you know, shows and gigs and stuff like that, you meet a lot of other people in the same industry, but they might not be musicians, they might not be singers, they might be doing something else in the industry, but you get to meet them and connect with them, and you just never know how they might be able to use you and how you might need them as well. So
it's
a really good networking piece or tool that I've found so far.
Okay, yeah, no, that's good benefits. We talked about you teaching students. What about, how do you feel about music returning back to school? That seems to be a movement happening now. A lot of artists are donating or contributing, especially in some of the charter schools. And I think that's a good thing. But how do you feel about the importance of having music or music class in the schools again?
I think it's very important. I would say it's very important because sometimes it can make or break you professionally way down the line if you receive some type of professional training. There's a lot of talented musicians out here that have no, you know, education in music. And while their talent could make them fly way beyond some people that, you know, are, you know, international and national, not having those tools, those, you know, education tools, pretty much keeps them in the same city all their life.
Wow.
So I think education with music is very, very, very important. And then along with that comes other things that is not necessarily taught, like that's a right or wrong answer, but discipline. You know, when you get schooling with music, whether it's private lessons or in a school, you're learning discipline, and that will take you way beyond if you don't have that discipline and, you know, that teaching. And it's just important, too, as well, because a lot of high-end gigs, you know, whether they're high-end local or high-end national, there's a certain level of education that you have to have in music in order to just make it.
Right.
So, like I said, there's a lot of talent out here, but sometimes it might not be just professionalism that they weren't taught because they didn't go to school, but it could just be simple music theory that, you know, they need to know.
So, One thing I liked, I was watching some of your videos, and how I wanted to know, because I was captured by just watching the video and listening to you play, and I'm saying to myself, how do you come up with a song or a melody or, you know, again, forgive me, you know, you've seen a soloist pianist sit at the piano and play, and we sit there and we listen and we clap. But when I saw you, and I now understand when you say you use the piano training with your bass, because I actually could see it, because I'm like, I am memorized. I'm with you on this as you're sitting and playing the bass. And I'm like, how do you do a solo bass act? You know, like, how do you come up with that? I mean, really, I was like, whoa, this is good. Well, like, you've seen it with the violins, you've seen it, like I said, the piano, but a bass, wow. Talk about that. Like,
It's definitely a switch of gears. Thankfully for me, like I said, I came from learning how to play keys at first when I was a kid. So my natural approach is to do that. It's definitely a switch of gears. As far as doing like a solo act, I learned, like, my first show was last year, and I literally had to like almost completely switch roles completely because, like I said, a bass player's role is to hold down the foundation.
Right.
You don't play a whole bunch of melodies. I mean, you can add them in here and there, and that's fun, but you don't actually just play a whole bunch of melodies. That's the keyboard player's job. That's the lead guitar player's job. That's the violinist's job, you know. So I literally had to just tune into my inner self, what I really love, and that's how I was able to start doing a solo act where I can just think like my inner self, which is like this inner bass player slash piano player. So it's really a switch of gears. And I think another thing that helped me a whole lot was also some of the guys that I've played with over the years, meaning the keyboard players that I've played with over the years, they actually wanted me to play a lot of lines with them that they were playing.
Mm-hmm.
So that trained me to play keyboard lines all the time and still holding down a foundation in the song, playing my bass lines. A lot of times I'll do keyboard accents with them, mm-hmm. and it wasn't an option for me. They were like, we want you to do this. So, you know, that, of course, for me, that was like goal because, well, it was also a challenge, but I also enjoy it. So right. by the time I had to come out and start doing my own, you know, solo act, it taught me to, okay, now you have to switch gears and be that piano player that everybody's been asking you to be.
Mm.
So I think it took more mind, like mental practice than actual physical practice.
Right.
So, and now I have another show coming up, as you know, next week, and it's going to be the same thing. As a matter of fact, with this show, I have a bass player playing behind me so that I can be that piano player, you know.
Wow.
Out there in the front. So yeah, this one's gonna be great. This is gonna be a great show.
I mean, you talk about your gift making room. Jeez, you know, it is really making some great room for you. And you talked about, how do you handle exercise your fingers?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I always want to know, people who play instruments, is there some exercises you do with your fingers, like the piano, the horn, the sax, the bass, the guitar? Like, there's an exercise or a technique you have to do to keep your fingers in shape?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's another thing I teach in my lessons with students. That's yet another thing that a lot of professionals don't have time to do. Once you get out there and you're playing professionally, you're playing so much that you sometimes don't have time to work out. So yes, there are definitely exercises that you have to do with your hands
for things,
just to keep them tuned up.
Right, right.
So yeah, there's practice exercises. And the good thing is too, it also shows up in your playing, you know, when you're out on shows playing. But another thing for me that helps a lot is playing in church, because church tends to do a lot of fast things.
Right.
A lot of fast songs, a lot of fast movements, you know. So that keeps you in shape, but you still need to be home practicing and just tuning up and everything. Tuning up meaning your fingers.
Right, right.
Yeah. Okay. And your ear. That
true.
Goes
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I know your instrument, your bass, you've been endorsing a company, and it's very valuable and important to you. And we're all familiar with Lucille and Steinway and Sons. What's one of the better line of bass that's out there, bass guitars that's out there, and which one do you prefer?
As far as the better bass guitars, it depends on the bass player. I think certain bass companies fit certain styles of playing.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, in my preferred, which is my manufacturer, is Elric Bass Guitars. But it fits my style. It's a jazz bass, and it fits my style versus somebody that's a little more naturally funky, grimy. They don't do a lot of notes. They just do a lot of slap bass and things like that. They might want more of like a Warwick bass or an MTD bass, which is me like a hybrid bass, best of both worlds.
Right.
But yeah, it just depends on the style of your bass playing. But I think any high-end bass is always better,
right?
Because you get more for your money. If you can be a great bass player and play a bass that's not really, I don't want to say valuable, but just not made out of good quality parts,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and your sound can suffer.
Ooh.
So versus, you know, being a great bass player, but you're playing a great made instrument,
mm-hmm.
and that goes a long way. So it's always worth the investment to go out there and get a well-made bass. There's Elric basses, like the one I'm with. Roscoe basses is another favorite of mine. A lot of people are with P Bass now. What is another company out there? There's a lot.
Yeah, don't get too much unless they're going to give you a check. Don't get too much unless they're going to give you a check.
Right,
but I got the point. We got the point. I got to protect my key players.
Right.
Now, y'all want to endorse her, you call us and, you know, we'll hook you up. Give us the numbers. You're known as the secret weapon and in doing this interview, I've learned why, from the being able to play the piano, your inner bass player. I love that. Like, a live inner bass player is in you, of course. Your spiritual gift and guidance, being affiliated mm-hmm. with Christ and playing in the church and being able to do the things that you do is just simply amazing. Mm-hmm. When they call you the mm-hmm. secret weapon, how big of a compliment is that to you?
It's a huge compliment, especially because I consider myself among a million bass players. So to be called a secret weapon, it is, it's very rewarding too, because it helps, it just reinforces the notion that I found my sound mm-hmm. and I found my niche, and, you know, people recognize that, and they also, certain people value that. So it's a tall compliment to yeah. be called that.
And well deserved, really, and well deserved.
Thank you.
Upon Thank doing you. My research on female bass players, I came up with a few, because I was like, you know, women playing bass, and it was like, I googled and I was like, whoa, okay, yeah, a lot of y'all out there doing it. Came up yeah. with Spalding and Michelle Indigo Cello and Rhonda Smith mm-hmm. and Gail. What do you feel about that community? Is there a good community amongst the female bass players? Just asking.
I think there is.
Okay, good.
I am more familiar with. Yeah, I'm more familiar with ones that are local. Now, there's some online that I know, like there's some out of Atlanta. There's some that play for other artists that I know of that I don't know personally, right. but I know them online, like say Instagram, Facebook, and everything.
Right.
But all the ones that I've come across are great. The thing I love is that we all have our different styles.
Right.
And you know, sound, I yeah. love that. We all have our own sound, our own niche. Nobody really, to me, sounds like anybody else as far as the female bass players that I know.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, it's really cool. Mm-hmm.
So speaking of people that, other female bass players that have played for other people, you ain't no, you know, slouch. You've played for or been in the company of some phenomenal artists playing Thank with them you. As well. So talk mm-hmm. about that. What is that like when you get a call from a legend like Gladys Knight or someone like Yolanda Adams, or, you know, when they're seeking you out or you get that opportunity? What's that like?
Well, it's really interesting in a good way. When I find out I'm going to be on a stage with a national artist, what I really find mind-boggling is that they are so, tend to be so personable and cool and easy to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's contrary to what most people may automatically assume, like, oh, it's, you know, that artist is probably so famous that they're going to be standoffish.
Right.
That's usually not the case. But I say it's mind-boggling because I find that a lot more of the more local artists, not necessarily local in my area, but mm-hmm. just local, like locally known,
mm-hmm.
they tend to be the ones that are more like standoffish.
It's so always it's like that. Oh, I don't know why.
I don't know why.
Either. Yeah, even as a journalist, it's like I found that there may be an artist, I ain't even gonna say no name, but I'll be like, oh, I love their music, and I, you know, I want to interview them, and I'm yeah. not saying they're not great, but they're not like selling millions of albums neither. And right, I'm like, you know, right. I would like an interview, and they're like, you know, or it's like pulling teeth. And sometimes I don't know to blame yeah. the PR person, the manager, their assistants, their team. And that's another thing. Right. Some people have a great team to get exposure. And we love being a media partner to Key Players, Tiffany. Anything you do, once we interview you, anything you do, when you get the flyer to your event on January 15th, you send it to me. We'll put yeah. it all on our social media as well, because our slogan is once a key player, always a key player. And that's, you know, wow. what we do, because the reason I started this was because it's like you can promote right. your album or your CD or your project, and that's 3 months standard industry. Mm-hmm. But, you know, right. the whole album is nice, or the whole, you know, what you're doing after that is still cool, and we want to stay connected.
Yeah.
All right. I don't want to get a tangent on that. But one thing I loved looking at your videos and following you, and I'm a believer, you know, I'm like, this girl can play for real, for real. This is not like play. And of course, we have a standard, so you're not interviewed if you was just, you know, all right.
Right.
You know. But tell us about the two singles that, the one single you released and the single that's coming up. And the first single, they can still get online, correct?
Right. They can. They can get it on iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby as well.
And I listen to it. I love it.
I'm sorry.
But let's promote that. Let's get that one out and then talk about the new one.
Right. So Viscosity, I published that in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
That is like a jazz funk single. Of course, I'm going to perform that at my show on January 15th. And I'm going to pretty much tell the story that went into putting that song out and even coming up with that song from start to finish.
You can tell us. We want to know.
Okay, I'll give you a little.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, don't a little bit. Just a little bit.
Well, the interesting part is, I came up with the name for the song without knowing what the name meant. So meaning I said, okay, now I finished the song. I want to name it. I named it. I just came up with the name Viscosity, but I had no idea where that word came from. Never heard it before.
Mm-hmm.
It just came to me. And I just named it that. So after the fact, after I named the song, I looked up the name of the song. Like I Googled the definition of viscosity.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found in total, like, of course, there were a few different definitions, but they all came together to mean basically the same thing. And I realized what that word means is pretty much what was going on inside of me mentally
mm-hmm.
when I was actually writing the song. So that was bizarre to me, but in a great way. I said, wow, okay. Because when I first looked up the word, I said, okay, this has nothing to do with nothing. I don't know what this means. But when I really thought about it, I had that aha moment. I was like, oh,
right.
So I'm gonna dig into that at the concert.
Okay, good. And the new single you're about to embark on?
Yeah, so the new single I plan to put out this fall, and that single is pretty much finished. Yet another writing session I had where it just came to me. But ironically, I had the title of the song before I wrote the song. So I pretty much wrote the song and played through it with the title in mind. So, and that song is almost just about finished, but you know, my inner piano self, there's one more instrument I want to put in the song. So I'm just waiting on one of my friends to go ahead and do that part because she's the best at it. So I'm going to get that done and then, put it on out.
Man.
The song is called Paradise.
So what's it like maybe doing a jam session with you? How fun is that? Like, who do you get? Like, you got keys, a drummer, like, who do you gather around and just be like, yo, let's do it?
That's funny you ask. I usually ask keyboard players and drummers, and also horn players.
Okay.
So that's the thing. And I think that kind of just reflects back to how I like to approach songs and learn songs. So if someone hands me a song and says, hey, just learn this, okay, fine. If that song has horn lines and keyboard lines, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to learn those lines and not necessarily play them all, but just throw them in there here and there. So when I get to a jam session, I'm feeding off of all the other instruments. I rarely feed off of another bass player in a jam session setting.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the interesting part. I like to, you know, in a jam session, you're learning from each other. And you're like, hey, what was that?
Right.
I'm most likely saying that. Yeah, you know, I'm most likely saying that to any other melodic instrument. Whereas a lot of times, most bass players feed off of other bass players, which is good. You need to feed off of other bass players, but you also want to feed off of other instruments so you have a full understanding of what's going on in a song. I think that's, and not to go into a tangent, but I think that's one thing that some bass players kind of stifle their growth with is only zeroing on bass. You want to actually pay attention to what everybody's doing. So you can not only have a full understanding of what's going on, but you can give more than just what is expected of you. So yeah.
You're such a teacher at heart. Where did you train to play the bass at?
Thank you. I trained with multiple people. Well, first of all, I went to Morgan State for undergrad, and I went to American Intercontinental University for grad school. Okay. That program I did online.
Okay.
I just did an MBA program. As far as training musically, I first trained in New Jersey, where I'm from.
Oh, okay.
And then I was a professional bass instructor down in Maryland later on. And then, I think it was before him, I went to a music school out in Catonsville, and that's where I was learning to take formal piano lessons, like, you know, reading music and all that stuff. In between those times, I kept working with other bass instructors and, yeah, private lessons.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, you have a wealth of information. You need to get your masterclass bass player going online, I tell you.
I should, right?
Yeah, no, I'm sitting here and I'm learning and I'm not even interested in playing the bass. And now I feel funny because I think I'm going to go to an event and there might be a bass player. I'm like, you're playing that all wrong. Let me get Tiffany on the line. I know somebody could help you, okay? Because that was horrible. I think I know somebody. You know.
Right.
My number. Yeah. Well, Tiffany, I mean, man, this is great talking with you. Tell them your social media, how they can get in touch with you.
So I am on pretty much most of social media. So on Instagram, at TiffSpace, and as well as, and that's all one word, TiffSpace. Mm-hmm. On Twitter, it's the same exact thing, at TiffSpace. On Facebook, you most likely have to follow my fan page, which is at TiffSpace, because my personal page is maxed out. And I try to delete people, but that doesn't work. So, at TiffSpace on Facebook. LinkedIn as well, Tiffany Lloyd. And, of course, my website is www.tiffspace.com.
Okay, cool. Well, I wish you the best of luck. You have a fan in me, and I love doing this. You know, I can't sing. I can't play no instrument. So my joy comes from just talk all the professionals, you know?
That's your profession.
Yeah, I get to enjoy it. So I thank you so much, and thank you for considering us one of your media outlets. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll keep in touch and let our audience know what's going on.
Thank you so much. I really thoroughly enjoyed the interview. Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome.